You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
Well, years ago, I remember a time in my life that was pretty tough. My dad had a really incredibly intense surgery. And the doctors told us that it was going to be an eight-hour procedure. And so we, as a family, we kind of buckled down and we prepared ourselves to spend 8 hours down in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, trying to keep ourselves occupied while Dad was under the knife. And we came back ready for it to be done, and it turned out there was another 8 hours to go. That surgery ended up going 16 hours. You can imagine our nerves were completely shot. Our hearts were fried when we finally got to see him kind of rolled out, and we only got to watch as they rolled him past because they didn't want us to go anywhere near him. He was so fragile. And so we went to bed that night, grateful that he survived, but just really shaken. And the next morning, we woke up and got to go see him and in the recovery room. And that was just a really crazy time. Our nerves are fried, we're excited, we're grateful, and we just want to get close to Dad, right? And I remember he was so fragile that when they went in, they made me wear a mask, like one of those doctor masks, you know? And it frustrated me. I just wanted to hug my dad. I wanted to show him my face. And so I just wanted to cheer him up in some way. And so being the sharp, smart guy that I was, I found a pen and I drew a monkey face on the mask. So it looked like I was from Planet of the Apes, right? And I walk in there and good news and bad news, it worked. Poor guy started laughing and it hurt. I had to leave the room and go switch out my mask. My plan to comfort my dad backfired. Good news is I still got it. Apparently I can be funny, just apparently sometimes not at the right times. All I really wanted to do was to get close to my dad, to embrace him, and to make him feel better. That's all I wanted. And I say that today at this time because I think in some ways that's a good reminder for me of how I, when I read my Bible, how God must feel, just a little bit of how God must have felt trying to relate to humanity, to people, for all of these centuries, just wanting to be close, wanting to embrace, wanting to comfort a broken, sinful, self-destructive people, but having to do it from a distance and through a barrier. See, I believe that one way that you can explain the entire storyline of the Bible, there's a couple ways you can do it, but one of the most basic ways is this, that God's intent has always been to make a way for anyone to draw near to him. From the beginning of Scripture all the way to the end, this is what the Bible's saying over and over and over again, showing us over and over and over again. It's easy to miss when you lift out portions that are admittedly difficult to understand. And you lift them out of their context. But when you take the Bible as God gives it to us, as one cohesive story, this is what it's saying. He made humanity for a relationship with him. That's how it started. He made them for intimacy, no barriers, no masks, no distance. But people's decision to push God away and to try to make our lives work on our own terms shattered that relationship. And that sin skews humanity so that we aren't compatible with a perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, perfectly just God. And in our little brains, sometimes that's hard to accept and hard to believe, and it doesn't feel right. But when we compare our little brains to the infinite God, and we take his word for it, we've got to accept the fact that we have made ourselves incompatible with holiness. We are unrighteous, and that deserves justice. That infinite justice is what it does is it destroys sin on contact. That's what it's supposed to do. That's how you maintain and keep things right and perfect. And so that's one of the tensions I think that God has had to relate to people through all of these centuries. But the thing is, if you're going to understand God, you can't just look at him through the lens of justice and righteousness and holiness. You got to also accept the fact that he's also infinitely loving, deeply desiring connection. It's what he made us for. And so these two things have existed in tension through all of biblical history. And as we read the Bible, we see that he came to dwell among his people, the Jewish people. He set them apart, not because they were somehow better than other people. He set them apart with a stewardship, a responsibility, and a temple so that they could be the place that would cultivate a space where God could be on earth in the midst of people, close, right? Intimate, that's his love driving him, but with a helpful, loving boundary and a barrier, that temple, and in the middle of the temple, a curtain that separated his perfect, just, awesome, righteous presence from sinful people. Close, seeking to be intimate, but a necessary barrier in order to keep people safe from what happens to sin when it comes in contact with infinite righteousness. It takes a lot of work, if you read your Bible, to maintain that tenuous connection through the veil. So there's daily and yearly rituals we see that God's people were stewarding to maintain that tenuous, dangerous, loving connection. And when you look at those rituals, those sacrifices, it's confusing for some, but when you really take it for what it is, it's beautiful, it's incredible. It's this insane, awesome statement from God of like, I'm willing to work this hard, and I'm inviting you to cultivate and maintain this closeness. What we can have, let's have. But as it turns out, that heavy load and the way it plays out in sinful people outside of the veil, that we don't do well, even with that. Our sin has a way of skewing even that. Some of us begin to worship the worship itself. We love just the religion of it. Working hard at the religious tasks, seeking validation for ourselves and identity for ourselves in the religion itself. Missing the God that it's all pointing to. Tending to see ourselves as better than others because we're closer to the veil than the rest of the world. Getting into that hierarchy and gatekeeping. And that's why religion so often devolves into earning and maintaining, even today. And it so often drives people who manage to carry that heavy load for so long to this deep down discontent that just has a way of wearing us out. But then there's other people who don't want to have anything to do with that work. They're like, it can't be worth it. Whatever's on the other side of that veil can't be worth that kind of work, that kind of difficulty. It's too confusing, too weird. I know better. I'm going to go find what I really need on my own terms, in my own way. And so they push religion away. And this is just what happens. You see it in every culture. You see it through all of biblical history, and you see it even today, when people are relating to God from outside of the veil. So instead of, God looks at this and says, all right, instead of dwelling in the temple behind a veil, I'm gonna become flesh myself and dwell among them. I'm gonna pivot. I'm gonna shift this thing. So Jesus, fully God and fully man, he comes to solve the problem in a different and deeper way by giving up his life as a sacrifice on the cross. This is what we're remembering today. And when he died on that cross, something really incredible happened. The veil in the temple was torn. This is a detail 3 out of 4 gospels make sure to point out right at the point of Jesus' death. That veil, that separation, that loving boundary that was allowing for closeness with, while also keeping people safe from the destruction of justice, it was torn. So in his account of Jesus' death on the cross for our sin, Mark, the gospel writer, says this in Mark 15:37. He says, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Verse 38 says, and the curtain of the temple was torn. And if you've read your Bible, if you've been here for a long time, you've probably read this 100 times just like me. And it's so easy to just miss the gravity of what's kind of just dropped in to this account of Jesus' death. Because that veil had stood for centuries as a loving boundary. It was a shield to protect broken and sinful humanity from the impact of being close to this infinitely righteous and just God, right? And sometimes I try to imagine the sound of this veil being torn. Like, it's a big, thick, heavy, huge veil. It had to be such a big sound you could feel it. I remember witnessing my first car accident, and I saw it. It was at a distance, but I felt the sound of it. And when I think of it, I can still feel the sound of it. I try to imagine what it would have been like for God's people, those priests, to hear that sound, something that had never been heard before in that space. And then I try to imagine, like, hey, what that veil represents is like a barrier between automatic elimination because of our sin and us. And it's torn. Like, I'm a dork, and I just sometimes think, like, man, imagine a bunch of workers at a nuclear power plant, and the sirens go off screaming, there's a breach in the reactor, right? Like, it had to be terrifying. It had to be confusing. It had to be overwhelming. And so I'm going to say this, it was certainly earth-shattering to have that veil torn at that moment when Jesus is crucified and dies. But it goes on, the veil wasn't just torn. Mark adds this important detail in verse 38. It was torn, but specifically in two. Bible doesn't waste words. It wasn't just a rip. It wasn't like, ooh, we can fix that. It wasn't just a leak. This thing was ripped in half, destroyed, gone. Like, it's not like there's a little rip, but we can kind of, you know, keep ourselves safe in the not ripped part. Like, it's done. It was completely gone, and there's no coming back from that. So it was complete. The Bible wants you to understand the veil's destruction was complete. In other words, Jesus' death on the cross was completely and permanently changed the relationship between God and people. Forever. The way to God is now open to anyone and everyone. No veil, no priests, no barriers between people and God. None of the work, the maintaining, the worship, or the service are required to be close to God. We're invited to come straight into God's presence, the nuclear reactor. We're invited and somehow enabled safely to not be immediately destroyed now that the veil's gone. We are, and we're invited to go in where people just don't go. Because the blood of Jesus satisfied God's justice for our sin. We don't have to settle for just coming close anymore. We can come into God's presence, directly into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. And finally, Mark adds one more important detail in verse 38 when he says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Again, the Bible doesn't waste words. This isn't just a nifty side note. This is significant. Why? But why add that detail? Why say from top to bottom? Not diagonal, not left to right, not bottom up. It's because to make it clear that it wasn't from the bottom up. This was not an earthly thing that happened. This was not an earthly power that brought this about. This was a heavenly action. This was a movement of God tearing the veil from above. In other words, it was a statement from God. When that veil was torn, when Jesus breathes his last on the cross and his life is gone and he dies and that veil is immediately torn, it's like God's just like standing there waiting for that last breath to get this done as quickly and completely as possible. When the sacrifice is made, boom, the veil's torn. You got to understand the text wants you to see a link between these two moments. It's the same moment. The death of Jesus, the destruction of the veil. One caused the other. So as Jesus took his last breath, this veil is torn. So when I say it's a statement from God, I'm saying this. The only reason that the way is open for you and me to move past close and barriers and into direct connection with God is because of what Jesus endured on that cross. Not just what he endured physically, but as we'll explore on Sunday together more in depth, what was really going on in the heavenlies when Jesus gave up his life, what he was really suffering and really accomplishing. It's what gives us connection with God, complete forgiveness, eternal life, the healing and the transformation of our hearts, communion with God. All of it is received by faith alone and not by our works, not by our religious worship, not by the way we approach the veil. And all of it had a massive cost. The life, the death, the suffering of Jesus as our perfect once for all sacrifice. In other words, what God was saying when I say this was a statement from God is he was saying a couple things, and I think the first thing he's saying with tearing the veil is this. This is what it took for you to come in. This is what it takes to satisfy justice for our sin, my sin, your sin, the thing that happened yesterday that you don't want to talk about, and all of the things, and the stuff that's woven down into the very fabric of how we see the world. It's that bad, y'all. It's that messed up. It's that weighty. And that's what it took. Sin is not a light matter. It has intense, eternal impact. And this is what it took. What happened on that cross is what it took to make a way for us to have a relationship with God. But I believe that's not all God was saying when he tore the veil. More than that, I believe that when we consider the torn veil, what we can hear God saying is, this is how much I love you. What you see playing out on that cross, the terrible price, the terrible burden that Jesus carried for me and for you, is not just a measure of what it cost for us to take the mask off, to walk through a veil, but it's a measure of how much he was willing to pay. Because again, the message of the scripture is this, that God has been seeking from the beginning all the way to the end to make a way for you and me to draw near, no matter what it cost. So the Bible is not a conversation about God's wrath, it's a conversation about God's love for you and for me. And this sacrifice is not a conversation simply about God's wrath. It's not designed to shame you. It's not designed to press you down and get you to grovel more and to stay outside the curtain saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. We get it, none of us are worthy, but man alive, this is a conversation, a hard conversation about what real love looks like and about how much God really does love you. Really. So don't settle for close, y'all. God paid way too much for you to settle for close. He's inviting you in. Come in. Make this worth it. Come in. Make the cross worth it. And so as we move to conclude through some more worship today, I just want to invite you to ask yourself a question and just kind of sit in it today. And even tomorrow, as we move toward the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, a simple question. Am I relating to God through a veil? Am I still, for some odd reason, standing outside in my religion, in my practices, trying to live up to something that's already been paid for, acting as though there's a barrier when there isn't? Living in this discomfort and this tension with God as though he still reserved wrath for me? Or have I pushed it all away because all I can think about are the tough scriptures and the wrath and the, or I can't believe that being loved by God is really all it's cracked up to be. I'd rather go chase it my own way. How's that going for you anyway? Am I relating to God through a veil? No one's here to shame you. Not me, not our staff, not our worship team, not the Lord. We're here to invite you to consider that maybe there's more. Maybe there's more. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we love you so desperately. We need you to help us to come in. Some of us for the very first time to even consider it. Others to press past whatever it is going on inside of us that tells us this is just too hard to believe. It's got to cost me something. Would you help us to believe that you really have thrown the gates wide open? Would you give us the courage and the clarity to come into that holy place and discover what it means to walk closely, intimately with you? No barriers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.